right. Praise God. Watcher Radio representing East Coast Live Radio out of New York. Got Pastor David Langford going to be joining us in a minute. I'm going to get Redbeard on. Yeah, weird stuff going on today because, some audio malfunctioning and a lot of people don't know how to get into the chat box from the website because the website's got problems.
Hello.
Yes, Redbeard, how you doing? We're live tonight.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Praise God. We're going to get Pastor David Langford on in a little bit, and I'll patch him in on the landline. And just going to run through some news. We weren't on the week before that. Chat box, you're going to have to get manually there. If you want to go to the chat box, it's mixlr.com/ Watchman Radio. That's M-E-N, not M-A-N. So watch M-E-N Radio. So on mixlr.com/ if you want to go in there. You can listen that way. Many of you listen on the radio tonight, so I get messages from folks giving me signal strength last week, but it wasn't live. And so the signal strength was good, even though they played a recap, rebroadcast. So that's good. But we are live tonight. Tonight is 31st of January. We're heading into the election, Iowa election on Monday. So we're going to be ramping up with that. You know, that's going to be all over the news, I'm sure. And, you know, phasing Obama out. How many out there know that I predicted this guy would go to the United Nations? Got an email from somebody recently, said that they've heard me say it almost 100 times. I think that's exaggerating a little. But I have said it a lot, that I thought he would go to the UN. Now, why did I say that? I said that because a long time ago, I think in 2012, April of 2012, I had a dream. Antichrist spirit on him, whatever you want to say. And then I looked in Isaiah 14:12, because I knew his name, Barack Obama, meant lightning falling from heaven. So I said, where was that? Is that? It's on Isaiah 14:12, well, Lucifer will fall from heaven, right? But later in that, you see that he weakened nations. And I said, you know what? Through sanctions to the UN, that would fulfill that, wouldn't it? That he would have that power to engage in sanctions. That would really be a fulfillment. And boom, now we see some folks are talking. I don't know how true the news is, but it appears to be legitimate. I'm still waiting to see on it. But if that's the case, hey, I think that was right on. And it's documented me saying this for a long time. And Jimmy, I think you can actually witness that I did say that.
Absolutely, you did.
Okay, so, you know, it's proven, and I'm telling you, this guy, watch him. Now, Trump, you know I'm a Trump supporter. I had a dream in July. I was actually mocked at a prayer meeting that week. I told people the dream, and they're like Jimmy. They didn't like Trump. And they they slammed me, you know, arrogant, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what do you want to do? I saw the blessings of God on Trump. I saw.
I actually like Trump. I just like Cruz better.
Well, Cruz has got no chance. But the dream that when I conveyed it, I saw in a dream, I shook his hand and I saw the blessings of God. And since then, he was about 2, 3%, 4%. And now he shot up 41% nationally. So, and you can see that it's a supernatural. And you might say, well, he's mean, he's arrogant, he's nasty, he's a Democrat, whatever you want to say. People change. People can have an experience with the Lord. And later in life, they change, okay? So, you know, it's just amazing to me how many people just want to stone people to death, and there's just no hope. And you read in Scripture that even Paul, they didn't trust him later on. Even though he had the road to Damascus experience, still, nobody, trust nobody, and that's just the way it is. You know, they can confess it, they can admit it, they can talk about the Lord in certain ways, and that's just never going to cut it for people. It's a shame.
Well, what we know, Rich, is the Father says that he's the one that raises up rulers and he's the one that strikes them down. So if Trump is the one that he's raising up, then there is nobody going to be able to stop it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It looks that way. And I would just pray about it is all I'm saying, because I had the dream, and it was a very vivid dream. And I was really close to him in the dream. And hey, it came out of nowhere. that I thought it was a prophetic dream. And since then, I saw the blessings of God on him. And that's exactly what's happening. And people say, why does everybody attack him? Then they go down. What is it? Because in Genesis 12:3, curse those are cursing, meaning if you're going to come against somebody that's blessed of God, you go down. Very dangerous. Now, you might say he's mean, he's arrogant, he's New Yorker, he sounds mean. And New Yorkers do sound mean. But in the same token, you don't know someone's heart, okay? And it says in Book of Kings, when Solomon was praying, he says, for thou, Lord, only you know the hearts of the sons of men. And that's in Scripture. So, but there seems to be folk out there, specifically discerning Christians, that think they're so discerning, and they seem to know the hearts of the sons of men. And even though it says, oh, for thou only, Lord, know the hearts of sons of men in the Book of Kings, they somehow became the Lord. And very dangerous, I would say, take a step back, pray about it, and get direction from God before you let your feelings guide you in a misrepresented way. Now, Jimmy has a bet with me that if Trump wins Iowa on Monday, that he has to wear Trump temporary tattoos on both forearms, a Trump t-shirt, and a Trump hat for 4 weeks. And I need pictures of that. Florida's going to take pictures of him in Walmart and stuff like that walking around. And that's God's judgment on him in a lot of ways. So. Well, it is. I mean, you know, it's came back right back to you. So,
well, our agreement was that I would wear the temporary tattoos until they washed off.
Well, it doesn't matter.
And I would wear the shirt and hat.
No, you got to wear it 4 weeks.
I'll wear it.
You got no choice. Your mom's involved. All right. So,
yeah, I mean, what kind of what
listen?
Kind of
you listen. You were real bold. No. You were real bold. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, when Cruz was like what 29%, you were like, sure, let's do it. Now you see him withering. You're like, wow, did I really say that? Yeah, you said it, bro. Okay, so that's coming your way. Now, with that aside, let me get into this because Pastor Langford's got a heavy message, three parts. So I want to give him. I just want to run through the Lord impressed upon me today, and you could chime in on this real quick. We've got 15 minutes. First of all, Faith Radio. We just got blessed. I'm not going to tell you how, but we got a supernatural blessing for Faith Radio. So I just ordered a bunch more, and I bought whatever that guy had. I'm going to order more. And we're going to be processing a lot of them. A lot of folks want them. A lot of people are asking them from here in New York. And if you do need a Faith Radio, specifically somebody going through something, a struggle, I need you to get a hold of me. We're backlogged a little bit right now, but I think tomorrow I'm going to be processing, getting a lot ready. And so Faith Radio Project, if get a hold of us. I just got the mail yesterday from the P.O. Box, free requests there, and thank you for your donation. But that's going to go to buy more Faith Radio. Now, you will get your Faith Radio. If you haven't got your Faith Radio, you better get a hold of me because we're pretty much caught up now. So if you did not get one, get a hold of me. So toll free, 877-734-6327. 877-734-6327. P.O. Box, if you want to snail mail us, is Watchman Radio, of course. P.O. Box 1576, West Babylon, New York, 11704. That's Watchman Radio, P.O. Box 1576. West Babylon, New York, 11704. Or call us. If you do leave us a message, leave and tell us letters of your name and letters of your street address because sometimes they come back to us and then we're paying double shipping. We hate that. So if you do call the 877-734-6327 and you want the Faith Radio, we will send. If you did not get your Faith Radio, please let me know because some did disappear. Now, I'm going to be touching on something the Lord impressed upon me this morning, 1 Peter 4. I'm just going to read it real quick and just go through some notes. This is, I believe, for the hour we're in. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, this, I'm going to roll through this real quick, but this is Peter's counsel to believers, amen? And, you know, I fall short in a lot of these areas, and I just want to go through this and admit to a lot of them, and also just advise all of us that this is in the hour we're in, and the judgment in the house of God. In this hour, we definitely want to be analyzing ourselves in oracles of God, meaning that we are to speak as a representation of God's kingdom. So releasing the word of God to the best of our ability, because I know we're in the world, and sometimes the flesh wants to go one way. But you can minister in many ways, and just parables in certain ways and examples with folks in the world, and they'll see something different about you in many ways. So oracles, God, we want to put that on a note. Beloved, in verse 12, think not it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, this is important to know that Elijah also, it says, was a man of like passions. He went through things also. But I personally do not believe sickness is part of these trials. Sickness is of the devil. It belongs to him. It's part of his kingdom. It's part of the curses in Deuteronomy 28. So very important to get that out of your head. The trials here are talking about shipwrecks and persecutions, things of that nature, things coming against your finances, trials of that nature in the world. But sickness and disease and pain and suffering and torment and despair are of the devil. So get that out of your mind so you don't have any problems in analyzing and appropriating faith. Because to appropriate faith, you have to realize that it's God's will for healing and God's will for your deliverance. It is not his will to lay those things on you, because that would be a double-mindedness of God. God's not double-mindedness. He went on the cross to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't go to destroy some of them and leave some to attack you with. Okay? And sickness and disease are a part of the devil's kingdom. So Jesus Christ manifested to destroy them. So very important. Verse 13, but rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also and exceedingly joy. So we're rejoicing in our afflictions. Easily said than done, of course. I mean, I've been through trials, Jimmy will tell you, and I'm sure he can tell you he has too. And to rejoice in them sometimes is not the easiest to do, but stepping into that and in faith, acting in it, God will help you. If without God's help, you're never going to achieve it. It has to be by the Holy Spirit, and just begin to praise the Lord. And a lot, some of us going through afflictions now, and Faith Radio helps tremendously in that, and we want to be a part of helping in any way. Helping the brethren, the sisters, and brothers of the Lord come through any trial, come through any attack of the enemy. Very important. Here we go. The balance here also in verse 14, it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, many people put themselves in persecuting situations and friction situations with unbelievers, and then they get attacked for it the way they did it and represented themselves in an ungodly way in many cases. And like, well, we preached the gospel, and they hit it with a stone. I knew somebody years ago. They used to slam people about hell all the time, and it just didn't open that person up. And then the person would strike back and say, "Well, actually," and then boom, they feel they're being persecuted. Now that's what I was talking about. Balance. We have to minister in love. And sometimes love is hard, like the hell message, but that has to also be balanced with grace, or you can sometimes do more damage than good. So also understand today we see a lot of imbalances in many ways. But this is where I wanted to get to in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer, or as a busybody in any other man's matters. Now, this is important. I'm going to stop there and pass it to Jimmy. I was going to keep going there, but this is important because this covers a whole area here, because you see the word evildoers there. So, well, evildoer is a whole spectrum of things. So, go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, as servants of the Father, we're commanded to set ourselves at a higher standard. And that's the problem we see in the church now, is we have all but forgot that there is a standard that we are held to once we become believers.
Amen.
it's amazing to me. I mean, I just made a huge statement today, you know, concerning the Take Bait Christianity Church. You know, you claim to be, you know, serving God, but yet 2/3 of your leadership are openly embracing homosexuality.
Wow.
And are telling, you know, teenage girls so they don't have to suffer the reproach of being an unwed mother to go have abortions. This is coming from church pulpit.
Oh my God.
So, you know, we cannot be labeled an evildoer. If we want to receive the blessings of the Father, then we have to meet the standards of the Father. We have to surrender ourselves wholly unto Him.
Yeah.
When we surrender ourselves wholly unto Him, then there is no sickness, no disease, no pestilence, no earthquakes, disasters. None of these things are going to come near your dwelling. That's what Psalms 91 is about.
Yeah.
He that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the wings of His covering. We need to learn how to dwell in that secret place of the Most High. We need to learn how to dwell in holiness and in righteousness to separate ourselves from that sinful nature. Sure, we all fail at times. That's what grace is for. Grace is for when we mistakenly break what the Father has told us to do. It's not a license to continue to do those things that are contrary to God.
Amen. Yeah, you're right.
When we sit here and teach people, well, you know, you're covered by grace. You're covered by grace. You know, sleep with your neighbor's wife. You're covered by grace. You know, murder your neighbor. You're covered by grace. Well, if you did it unknowingly, which I don't know how you could do those things unknowingly, but I mean, for the sake of argument, if you did it unknowingly, of course you're going to be covered by grace. But Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if you willfully sin after you have received the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin."
Wow.
So now you have effectively taken Christ and put Him back up on the cross. You have driven the nails in His hands and His feet, and you have pierced His side and crucified Him afresh when you return to Him, because everything He has done for you in that redemptive process is now as though it had never happened, and now you have to come back to the foot of the cross again. We need to realize that when we become born again, we are called to a higher standard. And when we walk in those standards that the Father has established for us, then the blessings that He promised to us, He tells us in the Torah, in Leviticus, that if we do these things that He told us to do, that He will bless us so much that the blessings will come upon us and overtake us. We can't run from the blessings if we'll just do what He tells us to do.
Yeah. Well, the key to this whole chapter, I'm not going to go much further there, but this, you know, this thief thing and the, you know, listen, many times on my timesheet and things like this, I'm starting to really starting to think about a lot of this stuff when I'm doing my payroll and stuff, you know, even the taxes, you know, there's a lot of, and murderer is another one, because even if you hold, see, the gospel has brought things up a notch, specifically in anger. If you're harboring anger, Jesus said you've already murdered.
Absolutely.
So that's even dangerous. This whole area is evildoer, thief, murderer, busybody, and other. Busybody is a big one today. This is held right there next to evildoer. It says, and a busybody in other another woman or another man's matters. And that is so active today on Facebook. I hate to say it, but social networking has become a big personality cult. You know, this one said this, and it's just snowball. God does not like that. So if it's listed here that you will suffer for this. Now, Lord is talking here about judgment in the house of God. So the recompenses will flow for these, unfortunately, and have flowed on me over my life. And, you know, we have to get out from amongst this form of activities, specifically what he's listing here. Any evil doing, like Jimmy was saying, and I believe repentance daily is important, because in Psalms 103, crown of head, loving kindness, tender mercy, redeem our soul from destruction. We have to lift up the word to the Lord, because we are created in dust, as dust and ash. We are flesh. We were shapen in iniquity. And we look at David and the things he went through with the murder and adultery, and he was a man after God's own heart. And we do make mistakes, and in the same token, we have to acknowledge them. That's the most important thing that is being left out of the gospel today in the Cake Bake Flim Flam church entity. They seem to skip over that, and unfortunately is leaving that snare on a lot of people's lives when it's so easily broken. Because it's for my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. And then it says, turn from their wicked ways. There's a repentant part.
My faith.
Yeah, so the whole process is there. And then you go into the New Testament, and it's the process is there. Confess thy faults to one another. You know, so there's that whole acknowledging part. And that's why the deliverance ministry, we always do the acknowledgement. And the Lord loves you, and he loves us. And the key to this, folks, is don't let go of the reality of the gospel, to repent, and then ye believe the gospel. Because what's happened is they've taken that part. And I hear so many people quote 2 Corinthians 7:14, and they actually stop at the comma where it says, and turn, you know, there's not a comma, but it says, and turn from the wicked ways. They stop. They don't say that. And I don't know why. They say everything else.
Because they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. They
don't want to turn from their wicked ways, and they don't want to also offend other people. And folks, in this hour, like it says in 1 Peter 4, there's a lot here, but the judgment that is beginning in the house has begun a long time ago, and we just want to get away from it. And grace, asking God for grace, it says his mercies are renewed every morning. If you are going through something or struggling through something, the best thing you can do is get before the grace altar and just get before the Lord and ask him for grace as you're coming through, that whatever it might be, whatever you're going through. And acknowledge it, and it's a much safer position than what's going on in the church today, where there's no more acknowledgement, there's no more preaching of repentance, and you know, it's sad what's happening, because that's why a lot of sickness, the devil gets ground for to come in and inflict not just you but your family, because recompenses go on the bloodline. Says he visits the iniquity to the third and fourth generation.
Absolutely.
So recompense on the children, the children, 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 children. And we're going to scoot on over and get David Langford on. But, if you got time, take a look at that 1 Peter 4. Very interesting. A lot there. And Peter, man of God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see if we got the right phone number. Hallelujah. Let's see. Hello, Pastor David.
Yes, sir.
Good. I was hoping I didn't get Mogtown pizza.
No, you got me tonight.
That happened to me once. You know, I called some taco guy, answered. But listen, praise God. I got Redbeard Jimmy on the line.
Well, great.
Yep. And praise God, you're in NC in North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Pastor David Langford, been on watching radio, geez, for so long, I can't even remember how long.
Been a long time, hasn't it, Rich?
Been a long time. Been a long time, and we met you many years ago because you were on WWCR, and Sammy said, you know what, have you ever heard that preacher After Us? I said, no. I said, let me tune in. And boom, I said, man, we got to get him on. That would be back in, geez, 2005, 2006 maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Been a long time. We're getting older, Rich.
You know what? I'm going to confess Psalms 103.
Amen.
Youth be renewed like the eagle. Amen. But,
amen.
But I know you have a little bit of a word, so I want to hand the reins over to you, but also I want to give time to give your contact information, if we can, just before the end.
Sure.
Okay, so Pastor David Langford, and I want to have him release this revelation upon the audience. Many of you out there in WWCR already know Pastor David because he's been on WWCR for so many years. So, Pastor David, mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you so very much, and it's always a joy to be with your listeners and to share the unsearchable riches of Christ through his most profound word. But some of the things the Lord is putting in my spirit, number one, is everyone here in the time of the end is either going to become a goat or a sheep, and their nature is exact opposite of each other. And Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, and so forth. But then it says to those that are goats, he's going to put onto the left side. And that's where the people don't want to be. They'll be sent into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. I'm not going to read all those verses, but the point is the nature of people today in Christianity is going to become one or the either. You know, a sheep must feed on green pasture. They will only drink at still water, but the goats will eat anything virtually and butt you off a cliff. They just have a total different nature about them. And, of course, that's what God is going to do in the end when he said he'll put the goats on his left hand and will say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So if people continue to embrace the nature of a goat, rebellious, heady, high-minded, stubborn, that's their ultimate destiny because that's not the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The other two things the Lord is really dealing with me about, number one is intercession. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he offered Abraham an opportunity to intercede. For he said, I will not hide this thing from which I'm about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham. So he went to Abraham, of course, and of course he prophesied of blessing him with this son that would come ultimately would be Isaac. But he also told him what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, the sin is great, their sin is very grievous, and I've come down to see if it's as bad as the cry of it has come unto me. And of course, Abraham began to intercede immediately because his nephew Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Abraham started out at 50. And he said in Genesis 18:25, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Surely you'll not slay the righteous with the wicked. And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place. That's significant. If he could have found 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have spared all of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham was asking if he found 50 righteous in a place. In other words, a small place, a nook, a cranny, a corner. Because he said in verse 28, Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50. Wilt thou destroy all the city? For lack of five, he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy. And he kept on until he negotiated all the way down to 10. So God afforded Abraham the opportunity to intercede before judgment. And that's what God is wanting to do with the church right now, enter into a time of intercession and prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God. We know the next morning that Abraham arose early. The Bible said he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And he looked at the land of the plain, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. A billowing furnace was what it ultimately became there in the end. And, of course, the other thing the Lord is dealing with me about is Jonah. We just had this great snowstorm, and, of course, it, too, was called Jonah. and there were lives lost in that. But God gave Nineveh, through Jonah, even though he was very disobedient, he afforded Nineveh the opportunity to hear a message of repentance. And Jonah went into to Nineveh and preached repentance, and of course they were saved, and God did not overthrow the city. He said the same thing to Jonah that he said to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Of course, he did overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah because there was nobody there preaching. Now think about that. God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. There were no preachers proclaiming the judgment of God. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. Look how many preachers we have today. Look at how many churches. Look at the media ministry that we have today. Yet, they're not preaching repentance. So God suffered Jonah through the whole ordeal of the whale, being swallowed and being vomited back on the seashore. And he said again in chapter 3, the same thing he said to Jonah in chapter 1, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee." That was the same thing he said in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah fled to Tarshish to get away from the call of God. So God is a very gracious, loving God, and he wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And what I find so powerful about Jonah's message, the Bible said when he began to preach what God had bid him to preach, that God was going to overthrow the city in 40 days. It said the people believed God. It didn't say that they believed Jonah, but the people believed God. But what was taking place was the anointing on the message of repentance was so heavy upon Jonah, they weren't paying as much attention to the man as they were to the message. And of course, the king made a proclamation, a decree, no animal, no creature, no personage could eat or drink. Everyone was to put on sackcloth and ashes and begin to fast and to pray in the event that God would show them mercy. And they said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? And of course, the Bible said God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. As long as God is on his throne, and there is still salt and light in the earth, which is you and I and our brethren here with us tonight, there's an opportunity for God to divinely intervene if we pray and if we fast. I still quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. You all know it. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." And so it's very, very important right now, I believe. I believe this is a very tenuous year, 2016. The sum, if you add 2, 0, 1, and 6, you come up with a number of 9. 9 in biblical numerology stands for fruitfulness. I believe the fruitfulness of every person is going to be made manifest, again, whether you are a goat or a sheep. You're going to produce the fruit. "Ye shall know them by their fruit." I just posted an article on my website the other day. God does not need to know men's fruits because God knows men's hearts. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know the heart?" God asked the question. Who can know the heart? "I know the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." So God knows a man's fruit by his heart. We don't know a man's heart except by his fruit. The fruit, the manifestation of the fruit, is for us, because God can look on any man and know exactly his heart. We can't look on any man and know their heart, but we can know their heart by their fruit. So Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits, not their gifts, not their talents, but what they're manifesting in their lives. So that's why the goat nature or the sheep nature is going to come to fruition, and that will be the fruit. And thus you and I, Rich, you and I will know men by their fruit, see?
Amen.
And so this is where we're coming to a climatic ending, and I don't know when the end will be, of course. I'm just saying we're coming to a close in the very not too far distant future. But see, God is so just. He's going to give every man a chance. Now, remember what he said to the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3:15-16. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So he says, either become totally cold or become totally hot. Either become totally a goat or become a total sheep. See, the middle ground is being done away with. And, of course, everybody wants to live in the gray area. You know, we get lied to by our congressmen, our senators, our president. They're lying, slow bellies. Titus, Paul called them in the book of Titus, Titus 1 and 12, slow bellies. The liars, busybodies, meddlers, peddlers, that's all they are. And so this is how it has to come to this degree, because God is so just when he adjudicates. Now, this is a very simple way of me explaining it. I cannot define the mind of God because it's infinite, and my brain is finite. But he is so just, when he adjudicates, he will know without any reservation, without any doubt, when he adjudicates, it is righteous judgment. Well, maybe they were halfway, and I should have been a little bit more merciful. Maybe they, if I'd have given them another day or two, they might have got where they needed to get to spiritually. No, God will be so just. You either go to the left hand or you go to the right hand. Now, I know that's not politically correct today. You know, sodomites say, God made me this way. But when I go back to Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, it said he made them male and he made them female and said, let everything produce after its own kind. I've never seen two bulls have a calf. I've never seen two heifers have a calf. It takes a bull and a heifer to have a calf. It don't work any other way. But see, they're trying to redefine what God has divinely established in our lives. And it's people say, well, this is the way God made me. No, God makes men holy. Sin and Satan makes men unholy. Sin makes man a drunkard. Sin makes man a liar. Sin makes man a thief. Sin makes man a pedophile. It's not God. God doesn't make anyone like that. That's why he said in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it's the sin factor. And, of course, we all know tonight, even the brethren on the program with us, how many preachers are preaching, number one, repentance against sin and redemption through the blood of Jesus? How many men make old-fashioned altar calls and make a plea for lost souls? It's almost a lost distinction in the church. It's just gone. It's all about money, and it's all about grace and all about blessing. But there's no crying.
That's right.
Mark said in Mark 1:15, his first record of Christ's words were this, Mark 1:15, and Jesus said this, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel tells us plainly about his death, burial, and resurrection. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's the gospel in a nutshell. You don't have to be flamboyant. You don't have to be some great theologian with a doctorate or PhD. preach repentance and the gospel. Well, brother, you and I both know they don't preach that anymore.
No.
They don't. Don't. If a dignitary were to visit a church today, whether he be a senator, a governor, or the president, or vice president, they would never say one word to be offensive. But after the king of Nineveh heard the preaching of Jonah, the Bible is clear. He proclaimed a fast. He proclaimed a decree to him, not only to himself, but to all of his noblemen. And he made this proclamation. He said, neither man, nor beast, nor herd, nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed, nor drink water. And they all put on sackcloth. And it says the king took off his robe from him, and he covered him his own self with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Because the Lord said, in 40 days, this place will not even exist.
Wow.
See, now you think about that kind of preaching today. If God gave a preacher a platform on CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, and said, thus saith the Lord, in 40 days, he's going to overthrow this nation. Mm. And the Holy Ghost was on that man and that message. What would it do to this nation? Would people turn? I believe there'd be a massive turning.
Mm.
See, the pulpiteers today want to be politically correct and not say or do anything of that nature. And that's why we're in the shape we're in, brother. You know, Mike Huckabee, as far as I'm concerned, would be the best president for this nation as a Christian. I mean, a devout Christian.
Yes.
Overturn abortion. Overturn the 14th Amendment. People don't understand what the Supreme Court did back a year ago in June. They just redefined marriage. The Supreme Court is supposed to adjudicate law. There's no law on the books. The laws on every state book was marriage is between a man and a woman. So now the Supreme Court justices have become a law. If you go back to Daniel 9 and his prayer of repentance, he said, we're in this state because of our judges. When I say state, I mean the condition.
Mm.
Because of our judges that judged us.
Wow.
And this is why we're where we are. And yet people, you know, want to say they're Christians, but they don't abide by the tenets of the Word of God anymore.
My God. You hit that right on the head, because the Supreme Court did kind of make their own law there to make this perverted thing acceptable. And that's got to be overturned. You know?
Well, absolutely, because it was not law. You see, the legislation comes from the Senate and the Congress. It goes to the president. He either vetoes it or signs it. That's law. Show me what was presented to the United States Supreme Court that said this is law. Now judge it or adjudicate it and adjudicate it correctly. There was nothing to adjudicate. They took the 14th Amendment and rewrote it, per se, and said that we can do this. But in Daniel 9 and 12, he said, and God hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil.
Wow.
You know,
most people don't realize that the two things that have no other recourse but to bring God's judgment on the United States is abortion and homosexuality.
Amen.
No other choice but to judge us.
He has to. This is what people don't understand. He's just. See, a judge is supposed to be just. Remember the scales and the blindfold on the bust?
Yes.
Saying justice is blind. It don't see black. It don't see white. It don't see anything. Well, God is so just. That's why Abraham in Genesis 18:25, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? We, all of us brethren here on this program, that we're Christian brethren. We know our left hand from our right hand. We know we're gentlemen. We're not transgender. We're not some messed up human being. We are men. We are male. We were made like this by God. So we know what's right. So if we understand what's right, and we know God knows what's right, what's going to be the ramifications on this nation when they say, but no, God made me this way?
Amen.
He has no recourse. It's just a matter of when will God drop the hammer. Now, I admittedly, because of 2001 September, 2008 September, was looking for something to happen September 2015. We didn't dodge anything. Something was postponed. Something was delayed. I can't put my finger on it, but God is still God. Maybe this is just a year of mercy for the election's sake to see if we'll try to do the right thing. If people think Trump, Donald Trump is your answer, you're still deceived. We need Christian leadership. We need Christian, godly Christian leadership. You see, it was a joke to watch Donald Trump go to Liberty University and read 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's politics, folks. That's politics. Yeah. That's he went to Liberty University. So, and let me tell you, I'll tell you this to be a fact. He didn't know where that verse was in the Bible. Somebody gave him that.
Well, I'm going to be praying for him because I did meet him many years ago, but I believe he wants to do the right thing.
So, I believe he wants to do the right thing, but you must magnify the Lord. Yeah. See, whatever we exalt, whatever we magnify, gets bigger. When I was a kid growing up, and all of us have done it, took a magnifying glass and set leaves and stuff on fire. We were magnifying the sunlight with a magnifying glass, and it got the light so hot, it would start a fire. Well, we're magnifying men. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Psalms 34:3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." We're not exalting God. We're exalting men.
Well, if he could get in there and shut down, Planned Parenthood to defund them, I would think that's a step in the right direction. Also, this homosexual marriage thing, it's got to stop. You know?
Well, but it won't, because the Supreme Court, see, this is where we have given too much power.
Well, aren't they going to appoint new judges, and then can't they redo it?
Anthony Scalia said a few weeks ago, we're one justice away from losing the United States Constitution in its totality.
Yeah.
One. Right now it's 5-4, and Kennedy was the swing on the same-sex marriage, and there's many who claim he's a closet homosexual himself. So that's why it went that way. But as Anthony Scalia said, we're just one justice away from losing the totality of the United States Constitution.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be realistic. Look at Hillary Clinton. Look what they did to General Petraeus.
We can't have Hillary get in there. Okay, she's going to be terrible.
That's kind of my stance on the whole thing. I know I like Huckabee too. I don't think he has a chance this election cycle. I pray for the guy every day. I like Ted Cruz, but I'm telling you, I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, or Huckabee, or
You can't have Hillary in there, man.
We can't have Hillary in.
We're done.
No.
Yeah.
Well, there was a prophecy given the first week of January, and it was given by John Kilpatrick, and he said, Jezebel is coming down. Now, he didn't call any names. He just said, he gave 20 points. If people want to go to John Kilpatrick's website and read it, I would encourage you. He gave 20 things the Lord gave him. The wind is about to shift, he said.
Yeah.
And out of those 20 points, 4, 5, or 6 of them will speak to everyone listening tonight. The rest of them will be insignificant to you. But one of the things he said was, Jezebel is coming down. And I told my wife, I said, he's talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I pray every day, God, bring that woman down.
Yeah,
she's
going down because this whole scandal's getting... I think that maybe Biden will probably come in. You know?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. It could be very dangerous. As I said, we think we dodged a bullet. We didn't dodge anything. Something was postponed. Something was delayed. And I can't put my finger on it. I've been fasting now going on 3 weeks.
Wow.
I've been seeking God. I can't put my finger on it. I've had a couple dreams in the last few weeks and some different things, but I won't share all that right now. But there's something going on in the spirit. It always starts in the spirit, and then we see it down the road enacted in the flesh.
Mm.
God prophesied to Abraham and Sarah. At that point, he said, in a year from now,
wow,
you will have a baby. Well, it takes only nine months. Why was there 3 months added? I don't know. But he told them before he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, at this appointed time next year, this time next year, you're going to have this child.
Wow, yeah.
So God speaks it in the spirit first, and then we see it come to fruition in the natural, just like Genesis 3:15, when he spoke to the serpent and Eve, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed, her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. It took 4,000 years for that to come to fruition. So God speaks it in the spirit first.
Amen.
We wait for it to come to manifestation. And I think something's going to come to manifestation the fall of this year. Well, but it was spoken in fall of 2015. What it will be, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't want the libtards to keep this power. They have to go. I'm sorry. And, you know, we just need to get these Muslims out of the country. I hate to do it, but they got to go. And
sure, they have to go.
Yeah.
See, our forefathers, you got to remember something. When they wrote the Constitution, you know, 240-some years ago, they didn't even think about all of this stuff because it just wasn't there. It didn't exist in that context.
Yeah.
But now it's here. But the fear is when you start letting this generation amend the Constitution and things, they're going to take it the wrong way. They're not going to take it back to godliness. They're going to take it further away from godliness and make it more ungodly. Just like Supreme Court Justice said, nope, same-sex marriage is legal. When even the state of North Carolina, all states that I'm aware of, voted marriage was between one man and one woman. And my and your vote didn't mean a hill of beans in our state.
Yeah.
North Carolina was nearly 70% said marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the state law. So this is why the beast, this is why I don't think we're going to succeed, because the beast government is coming to fruition, and we can't stop it. There's going to come a harlot, and she's going to ride the back of the beast.
My God.
I mean, that's Revelation 17. And this, I don't want to be discouraging or disparaging to people, but this is what thus saith the Lord. There's going to be a whore get on the back of that beast and ride it.
My God.
And that's the scriptures.
I'm ready to get out of here. I might just go to Africa.
I have this feeling in my
spirit. You know, the thing is, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, you're going to be everywhere. Well, then I'm going to Antarctica.
You're going to heaven, brother.
I'm going to Antarctica. I'll hang out with whales.
I have this feeling in my spirit, though, and have since this whole election cycle started up, that Hillary Clinton's going to be indicted because everybody's focused on her. Some other worm is going to turn.
Well,
and
Captain Speculation
here. Try to bring this nation down.
Yeah.
Well, I listen. The bottom line is this, folks. I do not want these libtards in there, and I want Planned Parenthood to be shut down. I want homosexual marriage. I believe Trump will shut down the homosexuals, and I can get a hold of them. You know, but you know, we could get a hold of them and talk to them. So, because listen, Sarah Palin is a born again believer.
Sure she is.
Yeah, and she prays in spirit and everything. I believe that he respects her. And I'm praying for that unity to become stronger between the two of them, and the anointing we need to stop this, you know.
Well, we need to pray and cry out to God. He said when my people call on me, I'll hear them. Deuteronomy 4:29 says when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
We need to be seeking God. It's up to us to get on our knees and on our faces and cry out to God. I pray, God, do not allow the wicked to rule over us.
Yeah.
Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
That's right.
Need the righteous authority in the land.
Amen, Pastor. We're almost at the top, Pastor David. Can you just give out your website and contact real quick?
Yes, just go to www.the, you got to put the word the there, thevoiceofevangelism.com, or just Google David Lankford, Pastor David Lankford, and you'll find all our stuff there, and they can tune in and listen and see our videos on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe it'll be a blessing to many people.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you so much, Rich. Thank you for letting me be on tonight. Enjoyed the fellowship, brother.
God bless you, sir. Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Pastor David Lankford and Redbeard, thank you for joining us, Redbeard. And we'll be back next week by the grace of God. Amen. And next,
hello.
Yeah, good night, sir. We'll be back. The Lord loves you. We love you, of course. And see you next week. And peace. Amen.